Jeb Sharp. This is The World. Today, President Obama in Ghana. It's his first visit to sub-Saharan Africa as president. Our correspondent Laura Lynch is in the capital, Accra. Laura, we're going to get to the nitty-gritty foreign policy stuff in a minute or two, but first, just tell me what's going on in Accra today. I'm assuming this Obama trip is a really big deal there.
It is a really big deal. Practically every street that you drive down, you see posters welcoming President Obama, posters with Mr. Obama and his wife, Michelle, and the word Akwaba, which is in the Ghanaian language, means welcome. And some of them also say welcome home, which gives the sentiment that the undercurrent of this visit is the excitement of it is all about welcoming the United States' first African-American president to Africa as a sitting president. There's no doubt that people here feel a great sense of pride because of that, a great sense of connection to this president, even though they've had other presidents come and visit here. President Bush was here in 2008 and President Clinton before him. So no surprise that for the people here, this is a cause for great excitement.
And presumably there will be an awful lot of people, many Ghanaians, hoping to catch a glimpse of President Obama. How prepared is the Ghanaian security operation?
Well, there are a few wrinkles in all of this, Jeb. What's happened was that they were initially hoping that they were going to have an open-door speech given by President Obama in Independence Square, which is where Bill Clinton gave a speech some years ago that was attended by hundreds of thousands of Ghanaians and others from Africa. Well, that's not going to happen. Now, they're saying part of the problem is the weather, and no doubt the weather here is terrible, Jeb. The rains have just been pouring down. There has been flooding. The streets have been damaged. So that is a definite problem, but there may also be concerns about security with a crowd that big. So unfortunately, for the Ghanaians, they've moved the speech indoors to a conference center that can accommodate only 2,000 people, and this is supposed to be his major speech. People are wanting to see him. They're going to be disappointed when they don't get a chance to see him in person. The only chance that someone might get is a fleeting glimpse of a motorcade going by, or perhaps those who might be gathered at Cape Coast, just up the coast from Accra, when he goes to see a slave fort in the afternoon. Other than that, really not much chance for any kind of personal glimpse of the president in Ghana.
Just to be clear, that much-anticipated speech is scheduled for tomorrow.
Yes.
And for all the anticipated crowds and the buzz, give us a sense of how widespread the excitement is. I mean, do you find Obama mania everywhere?
No, it's not everywhere. It is in large parts here in the city in Accra and in other parts of the country. But today I was at a market that serves some of the poorest people who are living in Accra. And some of the people there, well, they weren't really paying any attention at all. You didn't see Obama banners. Or, as you're about to hear in my report, there are some who have some very practical concerns that they would like President Obama to address.
It's market day in one of Accra's poorest neighborhoods. The chickens cooped up inside this wire cage will be on someone's dinner table tonight. There will be food for some, but for others here, probably not enough. 52-year-old Ebenezer Tete knows all about the president's visit, and he wants Mr. Obama to tell Ghana's leaders to cut out the corruption and the waste, including all the millions spent building a grand presidential palace.
Whilst we are hungry.
He's telling you he's building that brand new presidential palace. And you're going hungry.
And we are hungry. Our children can't eat. Even the armed robbers are still going on.
This is the view from the street, or given the torrential rains of the last week, the view from the muddy pathways that crisscross Accra's slums. Corruption, mismanagement, poverty, and a host of other problems mar many people's lives. But political analyst Kofi Bentel thinks those matters will be drowned out by the sounds of Mr. Obama praising Ghana's stable democracy.
In my mind, what President Obama is coming to do is give us a hug and say, way to go, that's it. What are they looking for? They're looking to showcase this small country in West Africa as a model to follow.
Still, the president has made it clear America has strategic and economic interests in Ghana and across Africa. Gabi Asare Ochiri-Darko knows what that really means.
We have something they want. They have something we want. Let's sit down and talk.
Ochiri-Darko is a lawyer and a political consultant for Ghana's main opposition party. The recent oil discovery in the seabed off the country's coast could provide the United States with an alternative to the Middle East, but only if the region is stable. Achiri Darko says that's where America's interest in Africa's energy potential dovetails with his desire to establish a military presence on the continent.
America wants oil. We have oil. America has a strong military power. And I really can't see America invading any African country. But it can help us enhance our capacity to defend ourselves among ourselves and against, you know, these sort of hard-lined, selfish militants who may be within our midst. So I think really this American interests don't necessarily have to contradict African interests.
The United States military created Africa Command, or AFRICOM, in 2007. Its stated mission is to help Africa succeed. But so far, AFRICOM is African in name only. It's based in Germany, since there aren't any African nations willing to play host. Ghana is an attractive candidate precisely because of its stability and its newfound oil. But Kofi Bentel says Ghanaians aren't interested.
We don't like AFRICOM. We don't want a situation where the U.S. has a huge foothold in Ghana. We think it has the potential of destabilizing us. Much as we would like to help the Americans, we know what happens when you have a huge American base in your country. The Americans simply attract trouble. So I think that if they put a huge base here, we'll have to up our security 100 times. And there'll be collateral damage to us.
Gary Achiri Darko disagrees. He thinks Mr. Obama might try to sell AFRICOM as a way to win the battle against the drug lords who are turning the region into a hub for smugglers.
How AFRICOM would work as if there's a strong partnership element, and if it goes beyond what may be seen as American interest. The drug war, for instance, is affecting African countries, but it's also of mutual concern for Africans, Europeans, and Americans. If it's one area that AFRICOM can support us, I think that will help AFRICOM.
It's unlikely there will be any big pronouncements about AFRICOM or oil during the president's brief visit. Instead, Mr. Obama's public remarks are likely to focus more on the need for African nations to mend their ways and dictatorship, clean up corruption, and help people help themselves. Kofi Bentel knows Ghana will be held up as the shining example, and he'll welcome the attention. But that won't last forever.
Unfortunately for me, I know that after 2-3 days of the euphoria, we're going to go back to the same old Ghana. And we're going to have to solve our problems looking hard and thinking, you know, properly about how to deal with them.
American presidents Clinton, Bush, and now Obama have all come calling on Ghana in recent years, using it as a platform for preaching the virtues of democracy and economic reform. Still, little has changed across the continent. Many regimes are unstable, many elections flawed, and even here in Ghana, many can't afford to feed themselves. For The World, I'm Laura Lynch in Accra.